Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today I want to talk about aging parents and particularly around how we support them. And I must tell you, this is very close to my heart because my mom is turning 84, and this is also something that a lot of my friends are dealing with, you know, having aging parents. Now, I'm very fortunate. My mom is actually financially independent, and this is largely due to the fact that my father had a defined benefit pension fund. And, you know, that means my mom receives basically an income for life, which makes up most of her retirement income. But now, while she's always been a very independent woman, I've had to become more involved recently in her day-to-day finances, just helping her to manage things like her budgets, her medical aid, and her taxes. But for some of my friends, it's different. They find themselves also financially responsible for supporting their parents. So when I read the article by Stian de Wit, who's executive head of financial planning at NMG Benefits, around supporting aging parents, I thought, Stian, this is going to make a really, really great conversation for many of my listeners. So welcome. And, you know, I think this is probably true for anybody who's over the age of 40.
Yeah, thank you, Moya. And I think one of the reasons why we wrote the article, and I wrote the article is specifically because I went through this now with my parents-in-law, and my mother specifically a few years ago as well. So, you know, it's very close to my heart. I felt it on my behind and on my backside. So I know how difficult the conversation can be and how sensitive it might be.
So let's start with that, Stian, having the conversation. At what point do you, you know, is it the day your parents retire? Is it, you know, do you wait for them to reach out for you? How do you, as a child, start the conversation to check that your parents are actually going to be okay in retirement?
I think that there's no right and wrong here. I think the first thing is when your parents are ready. I think that's really important because it's almost you get to a place where the child becomes the parent, but they're still your parents. You still need to honor them. So it's a very, very sensitive subject at that stage then. And it might be there's certain signs that you can look at. Obviously, when someone has some health issues, mental health issues, dementia, it's very, very topical now. So something like that has a major impact. So that might determine it. And also there might be situations where your parents are financially not that secure and you're saying, okay, I need to jump in here now. Or when they ask you, or when you start to realize there are some issues happening here. And I've had scenarios where specific clients were, they were conned by some kind of a person either asking themselves as a financial advisor or a broker or something like that. And then the parents sit with very little money. Or it might be when that parent retires and you realize that person don't have enough money. Another one might be where they are 50, 55, not yet into retirement, but you realize if you're not going to jump in and help now, then they are going to be in dire straits. And then it's what we call the sandwich generation. So you're stuck between your parents and your children having to take care of both.
And I think that's such an important point, you know, people coming up to retirement. And if you know upfront that your parents don't have enough money in retirement, and you start helping a little bit earlier and helping their lump sum last longer, I think that's often more sustainable than doing nothing until they have nothing. And then you're in for the full bill. So I think it's very important to kind of get a sense of that upfront. But I also wanted to chat to you about this dementia thing. I was actually contacted by someone who his parents retired with enough money. So he had the conversation with them. He knew they were absolutely fine for retirement. The dad had a good pension, they had investments. And then 10 years into retirement, he discovers that they now are broke. They don't have any money because what no one realized was that the father had started to become cognitively challenged, but it wasn't obvious to them on a day-to-day basis. They didn't realize that he was making some very, very bad and irrational financial decisions, and no one knew about it. And I think that's also the difficulty, is that dementia is not often, it comes on slowly, and you don't always realize that this is happening. And next thing is, he's now totally unexpectedly having to support his parents.
And I think that's why it's so important to look at the telltale signs. And sometimes, it's it's a very difficult conversation, and it's sometimes important to pull in a professional to help earlier when the parents don't reach out to you, where that you just have that objective opinion where that person, without your parents feeling that you are moving into their personal space too much, can actually help and guide and assist a little bit more than where a parent says, "Okay, I need your help now." Because some parents never get to the place where they're actually too proud to say, "I need your help," because now I have to look at my children, and they were the ones that I guided throughout their whole lives, and now I have to turn to them. And it's the word humbling and humiliating sometimes to parents to do that. But sometimes, as we all sometimes say, it takes cruelty to be kind.
And it's interesting, the idea of bringing in a professional. Again, I was actually speaking to a woman this week whose mom's coming up to retirement, and she asked me, she said, could you recommend, a really good financial advisor who can help her prepare for retirement and take her through this process? And I think that that is important, that you also kind of vet the person, because I think there's also vulnerability as you get older to fall a little bit for the shiny shoes and the briefcase or whatever it is, rather than actually doing the vetting process and making sure that the person they're working with has the credentials, they're from a proper financial planning background and all those sorts of things, rather than the guy is going to come in and tell them about the latest crypto deal. So I think that can often be a gift that you can give your parents, is to help them identify somebody, like you said, a financial advisor that they can work with in their retirement. And I think the other point that you make, Steon, in the article, and this is something that did push a button for me, is being sensitive and empathetic. I sometimes find that difficult. When you're now speaking to your parent for the 10th time, trying to explain to them how this works or that works, you have to also, you're taking away their agency largely. And that's not a great thing for someone to feel. Like you said, they don't want to feel like they're children again.
And again, it's very, very difficult to have that conversation sometimes. And look at the telltale signs, but sometimes just have that casual conversation. Hey, mom, how dad? How's things going? How's your finances? Do you need any help on something? You see it in things like stupid things like the shoes they wear. How often do they wear the shoes? How does their clothes look? Do they become so scrupulous that they don't want to go out and buy stuff because they feel that they can't afford to buy a pair of shoes that's 120, 150 rand? So it's small things, but I think it's important to have that conversation. And I think also if you have siblings, it's important sometimes to have to know your parents. If you're 40 years old, you've known them for 40 years. And maybe the first year or two where you didn't have brains, you didn't know them. But besides that, you know them. And you know what's best. Is it to take a brother and sister with and have that conversation, to maybe have it one-on-one, and be sensitive again, be sensitive of how you approach this, and approach it with a sensibility of, I want to help, I want to serve. Not, I want to control, because that's really important that we don't go into a conversation with controlling. We go into a conversation with, I want to help my parents because I love them.
I love that. Don't go in controlling. And I think that's my weak point. I just want to take over and just do it all. And that doesn't work. I can assure you, you've got to go in and say,
I
what,
tried it
how
as
can
well.
I?
Didn't work.
Yeah, doesn't work. How can I help you? Is kind of the tagline. You should probably take stealing it from a bank, but yeah, how can I help you? When you get to this point, you also spoke about writing a budget. And that was an interesting one for me as well. Was that re only recently did I start helping my mom with her budgeting. And it was because she started to get to a point where she was losing track of stuff, like what was that charge for, and those sorts of things. And I think that's also Very important. I mean, you mentioned cell phone contracts. My mom was, I mean, practically conned by one of the cell phone providers. You know, she got a call, and the person said, "Oh no, we're going to upgrade you to a new contract, but it'll actually save you money and all that." And she didn't know. But of course, next thing is her cell phone contract doubled in price. And I had to go in and fight them and say, you know, you can't do this to an 83-year-old woman. And those sorts of things. I think that is a really important one. It's also sitting down and helping them again with their budgeting, especially, I suppose, if there's going to be financial challenges.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I last night in one of the interviews I had, I told the people, I said, there's two things that most adults struggle with. The one is money, the other one is sex. Now, I can't do anything about the sex, but I can do something about the money. And unfortunately, those are the two things that most parents do not talk to their children about and coach them in and train them in. Now, keep that in mind that sometimes your parents have never had a budget or don't know how to deal with the budget because their parents never talked to them about it. So again, then you need to go and see what your strengths and what your weaknesses. Do you have the ability to actually talk to your parents because you know how to do a budget? So if you don't, get help. But if you do, one of the things that works really, really well is to go take the budget, take 3 months, take bank statements, download a CSV file, and running into Excel if you're computer literate, and go and see what's the average spend over the last 3 months on the budget, and then look at anomalies and look at where are they overspending and what are they doing that you feel is way out of line. They might have two or three funeral policies. We've had scenarios where one lady had funeral policies paying 2,000 rand a month on funeral policies. You know, it's and they think it's the right thing to do because they take care of their children by having a funeral policy. Another thing that we sometimes a lot of aging parents, when they get to retirement, they might have life insurance policies. And a lot of parents say, I paid this life insurance policy for the last 10 years or 20 years. Now if I cancel it, I'm going to lose that money. So what we suggest to parents for children a lot of times do is say, okay, go to your parents and say, Mom, Dad, why do you have the life insurance policy? No, because I want to give it to you. And it's for the kids. Says, okay, then you take over the premiums as a child of that life insurance policy. Because it's one of the cheapest ways of paying for or investing for your own retirement is take that money and take that burden off your parents that they don't have to pay for it. They don't feel that I lose all this money by canceling the policy because they might not need it. Because there's only three reasons why you need life insurance: for estate expenses, for debt, and hopefully your parents when they retire don't have any debt, and to take care of financial dependents. And those last two are not applicable because they should have enough balance sheet and cash in investments to sustain them. So take that over and help them to reduce their cost. And just talking about the side of medical aid, Maya. Okay, you have a few dodgy medical aids, but mostly most medical aids are really, really well structured, good products. And there are very few bad medical aids out there. But are medical aids not applicable or not suitable for an aging parent and that they either overpay or don't pay properly? And you can change plans once a year. So we're getting into October. In the next 2 months, you can help your parents and say, let's move you to a different plan. There might be that your parent, cancer came to the front door, and you need to help them, and you need to say, how do we actually get that cancer out of the system by helping on the medical aid side of things and help them that they can go to a proper oncologist and get proper help. So it's important to assess, and sometimes with a professional, if you don't have the knowledge, go to a professional that specializes in medical aid and say, help me choose the right proper plan for my parents' budget.
And I mean, the key thing here is that you spend, I think I can't remember, it's like 80% of your entire medical spend is in the last 2 years of your life, or some ridiculous stat like that. So actually in retirement, your medical costs are going to be higher. So making sure you have the right cover. And one of the things we did with my mom was take our gap cover. And I remember when we took it out, this is maybe 10, 15 years ago. And she said, oh, but I never go to hospital. I'm never sick. And of course, since then, she's had several hospitalizations because you get older and things go wrong. And we've been so grateful for that gap cover. So I think those are some of the discussions you need to have. And certainly as well. And I find one of the things with healthcare is also just, I had to now learn her medical scheme. She's not on the same medical scheme as me. And I've had to learn her entire medical scheme to make sure I know when she can claim and when she can't claim. So I do feel sometimes, I think, and that's a big part of it, is you're almost taking over another household's admin. And again, I suppose it's age dependent and early retirement, that's not an issue. But as your parent gets older, that often does fall to you to make sure that those things are done and taken care of.
But just for medical aid, I had an interesting conversation. One of my clients is probably one of the most respected orthopedic surgeons in the country, and we had an interesting conversation about parents. That you hear the stories of parents falling, breaking their hips, and stuff like that. And he actually said it's the other way around. Because of osteoporosis and things like that, they would break their hips and then fall. And that is something that happens a lot where aging parents fall, and they're going to, at some stage, might need a back operation, might need to see a specialist for a knee replacement or a hip replacement and things like that. And those specialists, not all of them are cheap. Your dentist, and that's where your major cost comes in. I remember when my mom had went for a lot the last back op that she went in a few years back. Prior to passing, I think the excess that they had to pay, and they were on a good medical aid, was 35,000 rand that she had to pay out. And for an 82-year-old in pension, 35,000 rand is a lot of money.
Well, my mum did the same thing. She had a major back op last year, and the shortfall was about 40,000, I think. And again, we had gap cover, and I kept reminding her about how valuable the gap cover was. But yes, you get these, and what are you going to do? You're not going to not do the back op. So if your parents can't afford it, you're going to be paying for it. So I think this is why this conversation is so important, is because ultimately, whose responsibility is it going to be if there's a shortfall on anything? If they can't afford their groceries, if they can't afford the medical care, it's going to fall to their children. So that's why I think it is such an important conversation to have up front. And also recognize what, we spoke about their budgets, but your budget, like what can you afford to, how much can you afford to assist them, and kind of commit to what you can afford to, but don't drown yourself either. And I think these are some of the, and again, making sure all the siblings pull their weight. And there's a lot to consider. And I think this is why it's such an important topic. But another one, Stian, which you mentioned, and I again, is estate planning. And in fact, I was speaking to a woman earlier this week who's contacted me and said, I've got, my mom doesn't have a will, and there's this property, and I don't know what's going to happen. How do I have this conversation with her? And I think that's really, really important. And again, you don't want it to sound like, I want to know what my inheritance is. You want it to be, we just need to know that your paperwork's in order to make our lives easier, basically.
Maybe I must tell you this story. In 2014, 2013, my dad used to live in Namibia in a town called Henties Bay. And we had a conversation. We went there, visited him, and I still remember driving the road we were driving on. And I said to him, "Dad, your affairs in order." Now, obviously, he was on that side, I was on this side. The legislation is a little bit different. He said, "No, everything is fine." And the next year, the 11th of July at 2:30 in the afternoon, I got a phone call from my brother to say, "Dad just died in a head-on collision, just outside of office." So I remember getting on the plane the next morning, on the way there in the air, thinking, "Okay, what's the stuff we have to look at?" But and then I said, "Okay, great, everything is fine, everything is great. He has a will. He said his affairs are in order and everything." I got there. And lo and behold, the guy, and I call him a broker, because if you walk away from him, you're a broker that was supposed to help him with his will, never made sure of his estate plan. And my father was in retirement at that stage already. He had a business on the side. He took out a bond on the business to on his house to cover the float on the business. So my mom, she unfortunately, he didn't inherit a property, she inherited a bond. And we lost 3.5 million rand worth of shareholders' value by selling that business at a discounted rate just to make sure that they're okay. And it was, and I said to myself, I do not want any of my clients or anyone that I know to go through that because it is not a great place to be. And so the estate planning conversation is not a conversation, as you say, of how much I'm going to get. It's actually saying, how do we actually make sure we're okay? Now, the one thing that my dad did that was amazing is we as children, so that was his second marriage, we as children, we knew exactly, we had conversations. And I think that's what's so great. When my mom passed away of cancer 4 years later, we had the same conversations with her prior to her passing on who gets what. And so it's not a conversation of saying who gets what because we want to know what we're getting. It is a conversation actually to help the family and help them understand what the needs are and the wishes of the individual and to not have fights. So in both scenarios, we never fought about anything. Not one single thing. Not even a ring, not even, there are family feuds of people that do not talk to one another after the death of a parent because they want to get this or they want to get this. And there's sometimes sentiment to it. And because we had the crucial conversation, not because we wanted to know what we're going to get, but to make sure the values of family is protected in the process. Me and my sister, my brother, we still talk to one another. You know, if it's we still have an amazing relationship.
I do think this point of talking to your family about it. My mom did that. She made us all put stickers on what we wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of them.
It feels very macabre, right? And I was like, Mom, I don't. But of course, it made her happy to know that. That had been sorted. And recently we were redoing our wills and both my children are adults now. They're still young, but they're 19 and 23. And our advisor said, what do you want to do with the house? And so we went to the boys and we said, if both of us died at the same time, what would you want to continue to live in the home? And they both said, no, we would sell it. We'd want to sell it and then be able to buy something, you know, for ourselves smaller. And that was an important conversation because now we know that the will align what they want. And I think people make that mistake. Sometimes they go and they put and you find this particularly as parents age, they have such sentimentality and then their mind, there's this family home where everyone will still get together for Christmas or whatever, but actually the kids don't want it. And then it creates conflict if you've left it to the children and one wants to sell and one doesn't want to sell. So I think having those conversations around the table and saying, right, you know, we're preparing, we hope we'll live forever, but we want to make sure that when, you know, when we are no longer here, things are wound up and you children are also talking to each other. So I think Stian, your point is absolutely so valid. But I want to circle back before we end to your comment about the broker, because we talk about getting professional advice. We talk about bringing in the right person. How do you know who the right person is?
So it depends what you need. I'm saying that if you want someone to talk about your medical aid, you don't need a certified financial planner to come talk to you about a medical aid. But if you have a parent that's going into retirement and is in retirement, there's a lot of speciality that you need in that armory of that individual that you want to talk to. So I think the first criteria for someone going into retirement and you really care about your parents is go for the highest qualification you can get. Go to a certified financial planner because they wrote the exams. It's not just selling a product. They wrote the exams. They did their board exams. They know, they did case studies. They have clients that actually are in retirement or they know how to do it and help you in that process. So I think that's really important. What I always then say to someone is, okay, and I've had people come to me and say, Stian, you know what? I hear what you're saying. Give me one or two of your references of clients that's already in retirement. I want to talk to them. And I think that's something we as individuals in South Africa are sometimes, You know, we're so oversensitive to not hurt someone's feeling that we hurt our own feelings and our own pocket. So I think it's important, go to that person, say, listen, I need a reference or two. Please give me someone that you've dealt with. I want to talk to them. Because then you know that person can actually do it. So, and it might be one of the things that I always say to people is it might be worthwhile just taking that money and say to a financial planner, listen, I'm not going to necessarily put my business with you. Give me a financial plan. I will pay for it. Now, how I explain it to clients, I say, it's like the difference between a doctor and a pharmacy. When you go to the doctor, you go to the doctor for a diagnosis. You don't go to the doctor to get medicine. You go to the pharmacy to get medicine. Now, the unfortunate thing in our industry, a lot of times the doctors, the brokers out there, they get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies to sell you a product. And they sometimes, not always, but sometimes sell that product for their own pocket, their own benefit, and sometimes to your detriment. So that's the first thing. The second thing, also in that package, is look at taxes. It's important that that individual can actually help you with the taxes around your investment planning, your retirement planning. Because if you look at it and someone says, I can get 9% on an investment, it's great. But now everything is in a money market investment in a fund. You own 8%. I put my money in the bank. Now, all of a sudden, depending on your tax rate, 30, 35, now you're on 5, 6% after tax on that investment. You are not going to survive in the long run. So you need someone that can do that. And also, I think the last criteria is get someone to model you the process and tell and give you a financial plan and say, if my parents live till 90, what will their finances look like?
You know, listening to you, Stian, what I'm thinking is what would be a really good idea as the child of a parent, an aging parent, is to offer to pay for that financial plan. Because often in retirement, you don't have the money, they may not have the funds. But it takes the responsibility off you, because I think you spoke about the modeling. You know, can you please help me and my parents understand what this looks like for me going into the future as well? And it may be worth you paying, because you know, obviously there's a fee for the plan to be done. And I think that can be a really good gift. And I think often we try and save money for the wrong reasons, but paying someone to actually execute that plan, or at least put the plan together, could be a really good start. And of course, it allows for conversations to happen that may be a little bit difficult to have without that kind of middle person.
Maya, I'm sometimes hesitant to say yes to that on to that question. It might be that you subsidize it, and it might be that you subsidize 90% of it. Because the problem is, if you pay for all of it, it's people don't take ownership. They get something for free. So it's I'm very cautious to say it, you, again, you know your parents, you know what they are like. It's I sometimes say, let them at least, because then you know they have a buy-in and a vested interest in this as well.
That's a good point. And also maybe then it also feels like it's part of their process and not you.
Absolutely.
So maybe
Yes.
that is also about ownership, and agency and independence. So I think you've made a good point there. So yeah, Stian.
I give you one tip? And this actually happened with me. When my mom passed away, she had a life insurance policy. And she was diagnosed with cancer. And the moment she got to a terminal stage four cancer, and that policy was supposed to pay out to the kids, but we changed ownership of that policy. We did an absolute session on that policy to me. And then the money paid out in the terminal illness benefit, and most insurance companies now have a terminal illness benefit on their life insurance. By doing that, I circumvented the stamp duty tax. So I got 20% more on that life insurance policy than if I had to wait or had it paid out in her name and then be part of the estate. So that's just a small tip that your listeners can use when they have life insurance on their parents or there are life insurance that need to be paid out.
So I think there's two important points to unpack there. One is I didn't know that about the terminal illness. So if you know the person's going to die, you don't have to wait for the actual death. You can get it earlier, which helps you start to put things in place, and especially if they need, palliative care and things like that, that could be very useful. But the second thing is, of course, not to leave it in, it is to put it in the name of a beneficiary so that it doesn't fall into your estate. That helps a lot as well with executor fees. And things like that. So that's quite an interesting, so there's also even if it's just an accidental death, like your father, if he had a life policy that paid out directly to beneficiaries, yes, it would be form of part of his from a taxable estate duty perspective, but not an executive fee perspective. So I think it's so interesting how to use life policies. But that was a very interesting one that I didn't know about, the terminal illness benefit. So definitely one I'm going to you've educated me on that one. So thank you, Stian. Very important point. And I just want to say thank you. This has been a very interesting conversation. And just for the listeners, this is this go and have try and navigate these conversations. And I've had, strangely enough, and this is again why I wanted to have you on, a lot of people discussing this with me recently. And in all the cases, I've just said, go and say, this is not about I want to know what you've got or whatever. Just say, I'm here to help. I just want to make it simple. I want to plan my life, and I can only do that if I know what I'm going to need to do for you. Let's talk about it. And do it with empathy, with respect. Don't be controlling. But I think if you have those conversations as the adult child, it's going to be a lot easier for you in the long run.